Hello and welcome to Metcast, the podcast of Manchester Metropolitan University. In our latest series of episodes, we're taking a look at the Winter Olympics and speaking to some of our experts from the new Institute of Sport and across the university. In this episode, I'll be speaking to our sports nutritionists James Cameron and Ozchan Essen on the unique fueling challenges of winter sports and what it takes for elite athletes to prepare themselves for the competition of their lives. I start by speaking to James, asking if he can summarise how a sports nutritionist helps an athlete get to the start line in peak physical condition.
So when we look at athletes or elite athletes when they're preparing for big competitions, obviously the needs are different between athletes. So if we're looking at team sport athletes, they're generally playing a lot through the year and they need to maintain their physical function and their body composition year out, kind of all the way. Whereas when we look at preparing for the Olympics for kind of one-off events, and maybe they've only got a few events in a year to qualify and things like that, they tend to look to peak for those competitions. So they're looking at cycles. So they'll have a training cycle to try and peak. And as a sports nutritionist, we'll try and match that cycle. So we'll look at the demands and needs and meet those different training cycles to enable them to make the adaptations to peak for those events. So those adaptations may be kind of muscular power or endurance, and also looking to get their body composition into the correct place for that competition as well. So often their body composition may be slightly out of where it needs to be through the year, which is good for, say, training or making adaptations. But for their actual event or the actual Olympics as well, they'll be looking to be maybe slightly different because that'll give them peak performance. But it's not possible to maintain that physique year round, as it may not be healthy for them and may not allow them to train or maintain immune function as well during those periods of hard training. So that's what we're looking to do, is match up against what their training is and when they're looking to peak. And the key part of that is maintaining energy balance more than anything. And then all the other little bits kind of come on top of that.
What are some of the key differences between nutritional preparation for people who do, as you mentioned, more of an endurance sport versus someone who's more power-based, explosive power-based, that kind of thing?
With all athletes, we look at that energy balance, which is the core part to meet their needs so that they're able to fuel their training, they're able to fuel, kind of help them with recovery, help them with repair, and fluid balance as well is really important. But when we're looking at endurance, say, versus power, the differences there are, say, endurance, they're looking at different muscular changes. So they're looking at kind of things around mitochondrial biogenesis, which is the little power plants in your muscle that allow us to produce energy. Whereas a power athlete would be looking at kind of maybe increasing myofibril cross-sectional size, which hopefully has an influence on their power. And those require slightly different dietary intakes. An aerobic endurance athlete's probably looking at having higher carbs, but maybe slightly lower protein intake compared to a power athlete who might have slightly lower carbs, but during heavy training days and so on, they'd still be very high compared to the general population, but more protein as well, because their demands are higher in those sorts of sports, because they're causing more damage functionally to the muscle rather than aerobically. The stresses they're putting on it are more kind of demands around requiring increased ATP production to meet the fueling needs of that high aerobic capacity sport and time frame as well.
In terms of the Winter Olympics specifically, it's interesting. Are there any differences between the sort of nutritional preparation for winter sports that are done in the cold versus ones in the summer and in the heat? What are the different sorts of considerations there?
Maintaining energy balance is the most important thing to start with any athlete. It's kind of that core bit at the bottom of the pyramid of their demands. But when we start to look at winter sports, and it depends on the winter sport because they're slightly different. You might have kind of ice hockey and ice skating, things where people can train and so on at low levels. It's not so cold and things like that. But if we're thinking of alpine skiing or anything like that, where you're outside and you're up a mountain, you've got altitude and then you've got the cold. So altitude kind of brings its own issues, where obviously the air, there's less oxygen in it. And generally what we get is an increased need for iron. Generally, athletes are wrapped up because the atmosphere is thinner, so they don't get as much vitamin D. So we need an increase in vitamin D. So iron helps us with getting oxygen around the body, the production of hemoglobin, And vitamin D, if you are very deficient, has been shown to have an effect on immune function and maybe muscle function as well. So we need to maybe supplement with those to increase hemoglobin production to meet the demands if you are competing in high altitude events. And also we seem to see a reduction in total body water, and that effective dehydration can have an effect on nutrient delivery to the muscles, but also removal of waste products. And dehydration can cause an increase in heat, our core temperature, which affects our ability to perform. Now, this is negated somewhat by the cold temperatures, and you don't sweat as much. So winter athletes can perform at a higher intensity with higher levels of dehydration than summer athletes because they don't overheat as quickly. But there are still higher respiratory losses through kind of respiration, breathing, and you lose more water in the winter. So we have to consider that as well. So kind of altitude-wise, we have that effect. Just being in the cold as well, our body's trying to maintain core temperature. So our energy requirements are increased a little bit. So we'll probably look at just resting energy requirements. If you're in the cold, will go up by about 300 calories a day. And then obviously if you're exercising on top of that, they're going to increase again a little bit. So we're looking at trying to maintain energy balance through those, but then we've got the other ideas to look at as well around altitude, hydration, that are slightly different as well.
Recent alumni sports scholar Adele Mickle, who did an interview with, I think, BBC Wales, who, it really interestingly, and you know, it sounds pretty unusual, you know, her main sport is or was shot put, but she's actually going to be on the reserve list for Team GB in the bobsleigh. And yeah, she kind of talked around, like, you know, what she had to do to do this. And, you know, one of the standout things was obviously different type of sport. She had to lose 2.5 stone in weight to kind of meet the weight requirements. From a nutritional perspective, how does an athlete lose that amount of weight for a different sport in a kind of healthy way that ensures that they, you know, are still maintaining their strength and, you know, they're still able to kind of be strong and healthy, basically?
I mean, this is a really good one. So Adele, as a shot putter, there's two things. She's got her throwing technique, but her physique is hugely powerful at that. But it's not a power to weight ratio sport as such. It's a technique and a power sport. So she's holding that extra weight that may give her an extra bit of power. And obviously to a point where she's still got the maneuverability to throw in a proper manner. But that leads to that she has this huge amount of power. She's obviously able to sprint because she's going into the bobsleigh. So they've identified her as having a talent for sprinting and this massive power that would enable her to get that bobsleigh going. But obviously, as in her shot putter guys, she at that point, she's more just about power, whereas the bobsleigh, she needs power to weight ratio to be really high. Thus, if she can lose weight sensibly and has the technique to run, she'll be really useful. And clearly she is, because she's managed to get onto the squad. So what she has to do from there is maintain as much muscle as possible whilst losing her excess weight that might have been there. Now, what will happen either way is if she's leaned out kind of 2 stone, and she probably wasn't carrying an excess amount of fat at the time, she'll lose a little bit of muscle and hopefully lose more fat, which will increase her power to weight ratio, enabling her to be able to do that. Now, we want to do that over a period of time and as healthily as possible, which means we put people in a slight calorie deficit. That might be done through obviously tightening up diet, which as a shot putter, she might not have had a real overview of diet. It would maybe have been less emphasis on that. So that would help straight away. When you put somebody into a calorie deficit, you tend to increase protein as well, which helps to try and stave off our body's natural response to break down muscle. So hopefully that would overcome it a little bit. And we'd like to do it over a period of time where it's not, there are issues with athletes when you're asked to meet certain body composition standards of having relative energy deficiency syndrome, which can lead to issues around bone health, immune function, menstrual function, loads of different things can happen with that. So that's why we try and do it over a longer period of time. So to me, it would look like she probably had quite good advice on this. She's leaned out quite well. She's maintained her power and probably increased her power to weight ratio hugely, which has meant it's benefited her going into this sport. And I think when you start to look at kind of the way she's done it successfully, and you start to look at other athletes who lose weight for, let's say, mixed martial arts or boxing, you start to see issues sometimes when they're trying to make weight in a different way more quickly, and it has more adverse events on them. So that's kind of how we'd go about it. We'd do a slight calorie reduction. We try to make carbohydrates around training sessions if they're becoming limited. So she might not have as much carbohydrate out with her training, so before and after. And we'd slightly increase her protein requirements while she was in a deficit. And we try, obviously, do this over a longer period of time to try and maintain health as well, because that's the key part. Because if we did it too aggressively, she's more likely to get injured or ill, and then that disrupts training, which is the most important thing for increasing skill set in a change of sport as well.
Next, we're going to hear from Ozchan Essen, a former professional swimmer who competed in the finals in both the European and World Championships over an 11-year career. Now lecturer in sports and exercise nutrition, he works with elite athletes and sports teams from all over the world. Here, he gives us a sneak peek into race day. What will this year's Winter Olympians be doing in the hours leading up to their event, during it, and how will they recover? And to start with, how does the psychological effect of competing in the pinnacle of their sport affect their preparation?
We need to understand nutrition, or let's say good nutrition or the best nutrition, will not make you the champion. Nutrition doesn't work like that. But if your nutrition is poor, it can definitely cause to lose the medal. This is what we need to understand very, very well. That's why nutrition also not only what you eat before the competition, it's a long process. That's why we need to periodize the nutrition according to training schedule and individualize it. Because some athletes are 50 kilograms, some athletes 100 kilograms, some athletes do endurance-based, some athletes do the strength-based. They're different requirements. That's why these 2 points I want to highlight again, periodization and individualization is the most important things for athletic performance. Regarding to psychology, particularly competition day, is everything. I don't say these things as a nutritionist here. I say these things as a former international athlete and coach. Because of the stress, because of the hope, particularly Olympics, after 4 years, 3 years of preparation, you just rely on or think, this is my rest of my life, just depends on this medal, this success, all these things. You can not control sometimes psychology, and this is important. That's why, as a nutritionist also, we work with the psychologists together for before this kind of big event, try to make how we can approach the athletes to combine his psychology and nutrition. Because it's saying, you need to eat this amount of porridge in the breakfast like that. But athlete can say, yeah, but I don't feel appetite. Like, I'm really stressed. I don't want to eat. I will not eat. But if you don't eat, you cannot compete. That's why we need to arrange this kind of thing. Of course, I cannot give proper example right now because everyone is different. As an athlete, I never had a problem about eating. But as a coach, I experienced with a couple of athletes. It was so hard to feed them before the competition, let's say as a solid food. So what we did, we just swapped with the smoothie instead of providing them some proper meal. It is important to apply nutrition and psychology together, particularly before the competition.
But for people who have no background or no kind of specific understanding of what gets an athlete to the start line, say, on an event, give us an idea in sort of the days and even hours leading up to the event from a sort of nutritional preparation perspective. Is everything to the letter mapped out for them beforehand? Do they know exactly what they're going to be eating, what time, when they're going to be refueling? Is that all sort of taken care of? What does that sort of build up to the race or the event look like from a nutrition perspective?
It's really important point, maybe the most crucial point about the sport nutrition to improve or optimize the performance. Of course, depends on the athlete. Let's say if he's a cross-country skiers or really prolonged endurance-based athletes, even they start to eat really high carbohydrate. We call the carb loading one, 2 days before to fill up their energy store. It's not always the case for every single athlete, but always like that for endurance-based athlete. But other than that, for competition day, general recommendation from the current sport nutrition guidelines, 1 to 4 hours before the competition, you should eat. My personal recommendation, one proper meal 4 hours before, and another kind of snack-style food like 1 to 2 hours before. When we eat the food, you know, we make the oxidize them, which means some thermogenesis, we call. So some core temperature increase because of that. And it's important in the winter sport to increase this core temperature to keep yourself warm and to provide optimum performance. During the event, it absolutely depends on how long your event lasts. It is half hour or just 20 seconds or 2-3 hours. If it is more than 1 hour, we suggest to athletes, yes, they have to consume some carbohydrate to fuel themselves. Let's say if it's 1 to 2 hours event, per hour they need to consume 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrate, which is around, let's say, 3 to 4 bananas. If it's longer than 3 hours, even we say up to 90 grams carbohydrate, which means nearly 6 bananas. As you understand, it's hard to consume this amount of this every hour. That's why we use the energy gel, the sport gels, the sport drinks. But in the winter sport, another practical consideration for athletes, because of the cold temperature, they need to be careful they are not freezed or so hard bar to stop your chewing. So they can use some specific bags with their team, you know, isolated bags. They can keep them warm. And the final part for the recovery, again, timing is important. 3 golden points in the recovery we always consider. Refuel, which means eat your carbohydrate. Repair, which means you should eat your protein. And rehydrate, which means you need to drink. Again, the timing is important, particularly for carbohydrate and protein intake. First half hour after the event is crucial to optimize your recovery. If you don't consume something first half hour, regarding the physiological recovery, it will delay. And if you have multiple events within a couple of days, maybe not first day, but next day or day after, your performance will decrease and it can cause to lose the medal.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Metcast, the podcast of Manchester Metropolitan University. Your feedback is always welcome, as are much needed review ratings on iTunes. So if you have a moment, please head there to let us know what you think. You can also subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform. Until next time, goodbye.